Welcome, hello, welcome to Bar Whatever.
Nina Borzuki here. It's Tuesday night at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern, and the house is packed for Bar Whatever.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh.
A queer cabaret night in South London.
This is BBC producer Leo Hornack.
On stage is Michael, the MC.
So, my name is Michael Twakes. I'm a man in a dress.
Pink dress, big heels, even bigger wig.
Are there any whatever virgins in the house? Is anyone brand new to come?
And we're here to talk with the crowd about words.
One word, actually. Mucks.
How many people do you know that use the honorific mucks?
Oh my god, I don't know, I can't count. Me and my partner both use mucks.
At least 5 or 6 people in my mind.
A couple people I know in their own head, they feel that way.
There's so many people to count. Like, I don't think it's become more popular, I think it's become more known.
If mucks is not known to you, don't worry, that's the subject of the show today.
Can this word help us to resolve a struggle over gender and sex and language that goes back centuries?
In the form of 2 letters, MX.
Are we ready for our first act?
This week,
a British mixtape. World in Words
is made possible in part
by the National Endowment for the Humanities.
The thing is, the Nationwide do this thing where they offer you £100 if you join them.
You're just in it for the money.
Yep. It's banking.
Mix is an honorific, like Mr., Mrs., and Ms., but it's designed to be gender neutral. And over in the UK, more and more people have started requesting mix in their everyday lives. For example, their banks. So we're doing a little experiment.
So my aim is basically to open a new bank account with the Nationwide, which is one of the big banks here in Britain. One of the
How hard is it to become Mix Leo Hornack to your bank?
Would you like a checkbook? No, it's not the 90s.
Honorifics are sometimes called titles or prefixes. And while titles are definitely a thing in the United States, the UK is a bit obsessed with them.
Your details. Your title, Mr., Mrs., Miss, Ms., Doctor.
No mix in the mix so far.
Wait, and then it goes more dot dot dot. I'm just going to click on the more. And this has opened up a new kind of tab, and it says Able Seaman. That's not funny. That's Admiral. Admiral of the Fleet. Admiral Sir. AFC, Air Chief Marshal, Air Commodore, Air Marshal Sir, Air Vice Marshal, Air Vice Marshal. That one's twice. I don't know why.
What's the difference between an Air Marshal and Air Marshal Sir?
I have no idea. I also don't know why Air Vice Marshal and Air Vice Marshal. Oh, one with one L and one with 2 L's.
Oh.
Wow, you wouldn't want to make that mistake when you wrote to the Air Vice Marshal.
Sir.
Shay Jacobs hates titles, but
when forced to choose a title, I will use the title Mux or MX or Mix or whatever you want to call it. My pronouns are they, them, there.
And they are a non-binary activist. Non-binary as in rejecting the either-or choice of male and female and opting instead for neither or both.
What's nice about Mux MX as a title is that it tells you nothing about a person. It doesn't tell you their gender. It doesn't tell you their marital status. It doesn't tell you whether they've got any particular qualifications or not. In the widest possible sense, it is for everyone.
So how do you pronounce it? Mux or Mix?
There is no standardized way. It's one of those things where the world keeps changing and different people say things in different ways.
You might hear us use mux and mix interchangeably throughout the podcast.
It's fair to say that mix is having a moment here in the UK. Shay's been tracking its rise in Britain over the last few years. Several banks have adopted the prefix.
I think about half the banks, the large utility companies.
Certain parts of the National Health Service, the Royal Mail now recognizes it. And in 2015, the British Parliament even voted to allow MPs to use the title.
Though none of them has yet done so.
Mix even entered the Oxford English Dictionary that same year, 2015.
If mixed sounds a bit foreign to your ears, Shay admits this gender-neutral language is relatively new. Shay only started using it themselves in 2010. But it makes a huge difference to people's lives.
You've suddenly got people going, oh my God, this explains how I've always felt. As soon as awareness is raised, then people suddenly have words and have language to describe how they've always felt and never known what to do about that.
Mix may seem like it's on the road towards acceptance, yet the struggle to insert these two letters into the culture has been a bureaucratic and emotional nightmare. Two letters mean a lot of red tape.
Shay's been through the bank thing many times.
As is usually the case with things in the UK, it starts with a letter.
The other kind of letter. You know, the one with the stamp you put in the post.
So you'll have rung up your bank and they will ask you for the title and you will say to them, it's Merckx. And they will say, what now? And then you'll say, Merckx. And they will say, yeah, we don't have that in the system. And then you will say, well, that's my title. And they'll say, yeah, well, we can't do that. And then you will say, OK, I'll write you a letter. And then
basically at this point, battle commences.
Say very polite words, and then you'll say some less polite words. And then they will either say, oh, that's very interesting, and we will take that into consideration, and they won't. Or they will actually do something about it.
For a while, Shay got so frustrated with this routine that they contemplated a more radical solution.
So I signed up for the Church of Universal whatever, and got a little certificate saying, hooray, you're ordained, well done, and thought, okay, that's good, I can use it for Reverend now and it will be absolutely fine.
But Reverend, though technically gender neutral, wasn't perfect.
Then I went to the ordination of a friend of mine who was genuinely being ordained as a minister in a proper church, and watching her go through that, the amount of training that she had been through just made me go, no, this is not right. I cannot just appropriate someone's title like that, that they've worked hard for. So, yeah, you have to find a different solution.
You might expect the opposition to Mix to be from conservatives, and there's plenty of that. But it also comes from a more surprising direction.
So how I feel about Mix is it's a backward step.
So this is Julie Bindle, veteran journalist, lesbian, and feminist activist.
Well, I'm 55, and I've been a feminist since 1979.
She's not a fan of Mix.
What it's doing is obscuring the fact that there are two sexes, and the feminist theory would have it that the sex class of women are oppressed by the sex class of men. And for now, until we achieve feminist utopia, we need to know who is female and who is male. For the simple reason that we need to measure inequality and oppression.
Julie's stance on this issue, and more generally on transgender politics, has been pretty controversial. She's been called transphobic and a TERF, a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. That's not a compliment.
Julie says that she is not against trans people and she supports their rights, but she is adamant that there is something anti-feminist about Mix.
It is a substitute for feminism. It is an absolute substitute for it. Young feminists who are lesbian are under pressure to label themselves queer, not speak about female oppression, but to rather say, well, I'm just non-binary, as a way to perhaps identify out of their own oppression, or if they're born male, to identify their way out of the fact that they are oppressive.
It's not just theoretical, Julie says.
I'll give you an example. A man who identified as non-binary stood up in a conference on feminism recently, and he was there, very conventionally male, beard, typical male clothing. When the chair saw him stand up, several men had been speaking, and this was a conference on feminism. The chair said to him, could you please allow a woman to ask a question? And he said, I identify as non-binary. I have the right to speak. Now, it's being misused in all kinds of ways, and this is not on.
So to say that she's post-gender and then say, yes, but women need to be protected as a class, I feel like that's a little bit disingenuous.
Shay Jacobs again.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't be working towards a society in which gender boundaries are broken down to such an extent that anyone can you know, express themselves in any way that they want. Nobody assumes what pronouns you use or what titles you might use to describe yourself, but we're not there yet. We're nowhere near being there. And the bit that Julie Bindle especially will not get is that my body makes me so uncomfortable with my life that I have to do something about this, otherwise I will quite simply die. I think that part of what people who don't experience gender dysphoria don't get is that this isn't something that people, it's not a lifestyle choice. It's not something that people have woken up one morning and thought, you know what, I don't need my breasts, screw it. They know this on a very basic level, and it causes such severe mental health problems and trauma. You know, the suicide rates are unreal.
Feminist campaigner Julie Bindle has also won no fans at Bar Whatever. Remember that non-binary cabaret night in London?
Her name is Julie Bindle.
Several years ago, Julie was asked to speak at an event held at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern, the same venue as Bar Whatever.
So there is and there will be a peaceful, I'm saying this, it's going to be a peaceful demonstration.
Bar Whatever regulars were so offended by her inclusion, they staged a protest.
Step away, feminists, can't you see? Equality to some is not equality.
Well, there was a huge baying crowd outside screaming and shouting.
Inside the club, the scene was equally tense.
That's a real problem.
And Julie Bindle's the fucking boss!
The screaming and shouting and cursing and threats were so rabid, it was so hostile and horrible that the organiser had to intervene, throw people out. Somebody was actually carried out screaming threats at me.
On another night, they had a cabaret act where a person on stage had their underwear pulled down and was spanked. The person was wearing a Julie Bindle mask.
Bullying, horrible, nasty, vicious piece of performance that was just set up to ridicule and to send a message that, you know, I'm subhuman and therefore can be treated that way.
One of the ironies of Julie's problem with Mix is that back in the 80s, Julie herself was involved with another campaign to get a new honorific accepted. Not Mix, but Ms. MS.
We were campaigning against use of the prefix Miss, M-I-S-S, and we wanted it replaced with Ms., MS, because we saw that that was equal to the Mister.
It's hard to conceive of now, but not that long ago, Ms. was the controversial prefix, sounding as foreign as Mix might sound today.
It was one of the achievements of feminism. It may sound small compared to, you know, the campaign to end female genital mutilation, for example, but, you know, it all counts towards the ultimate goal of equality.
There was a lot of pushback.
What was the campaign like? It was quite hostile from those that were against reclassifying women as, you know, having equal status to men, at least on official forms or in speech.
And like today, the front line was about getting banks and corporations to change their ways.
I remember just feeling so uncomfortable when every time I made a call, because in those days, of course, you got to speak to a real person, when I was asked if I was Miss or Mrs. Because as a lesbian, it was particularly uncomfortable because in those days, of course, you were scrutinised as to your marital status and what that meant was whether you were married to a man or not.
In those days, of course, lesbians legally couldn't marry in the UK.
You were instantly discriminated against if, A, you said that you were Miss, because people thought, oh, they're not married. Oh, that's a shame. Maybe one day. And B, if you said, I object to that question. I'm a lesbian. I'm not going to marry.
Ms. actually has much, much earlier origins, according to language expert Mr. Ben Zimmer.
Stay with us for this detour. So back in 1901, a newspaper in Springfield, Massachusetts, drew attention to a problem. Quote, "There is a void in the English language which, with some diffidence, we undertake to fill. Everyone has been put in an embarrassing position by ignorance of the status of some women. To call a maiden Mrs. is only a shade worse than to insult a matron with the inferior title Miss."
I hate it when I insult a matron with an inferior title.
So do many people, Leo. So for the next 60 years, Ms., MS, would pop up every now and then as the polite solution to this problem.
But it never really gained much traction.
Then in 1961, Sheila Michaels, a 22-year-old American civil rights activist, went to her mailbox one day to get her mail, saw a letter addressed to her roommate, a Ms. Mary Hamilton.
It was her sort of light bulb moment.
I was looking for something that didn't identify me. And I saw this, Ms., and I thought that could be a title.
This is Sheila on a public access TV show talking about Ms. Unfortunately, she passed away last year. Throughout the late 60s and early 1970s, Sheila became obsessed with promoting the honorific. Finally, one day, her message broke through.
I was on a radio show with a group called The Feminists. We were on the show and there was a lull in the conversation and I brought up my hobby horse, you know, a Ms. And I tried to get people to listen. No one would listen. Really, I would think that this would be an idea that would appeal to women. And
where did it take? Gloria Steinem became a publisher of Ms.
A friend of hers heard it, and when they were trying to think of a title for this magazine.
Yep, Ms. Magazine, which launched in 1972, was a breakthrough to the mainstream for this honorific. Merriam-Webster put it in the dictionary a year later.
Still, it wasn't accepted by all. It took more than a decade for the New York Times to add it to its style manual.
So that's how it might go for Mix, an idea that grows from a few activists to a wider range of activists to a radio show to a magazine title to mainstream acceptance.
Or a podcast. On Viscount, Honourable Dame, Honourable Earl, Honourable Lord, Honourable Mrs., Honourable Sir, HRH Prince, which is His Royal Highness the Prince, His Royal Highness Princess, His Royal Highness the Duke, Inspector Junior Lunder.
Meanwhile, Leo is still searching for Mix from the Nationwide Bank's list of accepted titles.
And by the way, we've been doing this for 20 minutes and we're only up to M. Managing Director, Marchioness, Marquis, Marquis of.
And on.
Marquise, female version, I guess. Marshal of the RAF, Master.
And on.
Messrs, Most Honourable Marquis. Mother Superior, good to get that in there. Mother.
And on.
Officer, Ops Sergeant, Pastor.
We went through the M's.
Wait a minute, we finished the M's. What's missing?
All of these honorifics, there is no Mix or
there's
Mux?
No Mix, there's no MX.
Oh my gosh, so you need to write a letter.
It's not just a modern argument. This debate, in one way or another, goes back a long time.
A very long time. Cue the music.
You promised me no harpsichord music, Nina.
Fine. But it goes back to everybody's favorite gender-bending genius and perhaps lover of harpsichords, William Shakespeare.
The literature of his period is always playing with gender crossing, one form of gender crossing over into another.
Andy Kesson is a scholar of Renaissance literature at the University of Roehampton. He's our go-to guy when it comes to the history of theatre.
Instead of social media campaigns or non-binary cabarets, the social commentators and critics of the 16th and 17th century would circulate pamphlets, according to Andy.
There's something so unsexy about the word pamphlets.
That's so true.
Two of the most famous ones around 1620 are called Hic Mulier and Haec Vir. These are both Latin names. Hic is the male pronoun and mulier means woman, so he, woman. Haec Vir, haec is the female pronoun, she, and vir means man, so she, man, if you will.
He, woman, and she, man. Talk about gender-fluid language.
Yeah, except the authors were fretting about people not sticking to their proper gender roles.
Particularly around the playhouses.
Shakespeare's plays were originally performed entirely by men. The idea was to avoid the provocative, exciting sight of women on stage. But that created a problem. Sometimes the boys in skirts were even more exciting than the girls.
And there's lots of anxiety in pamphlets that this is encouraging queer desire, that both men and women are watching gorgeous people but not being clear about their gender.
And there was another risk back then. If you broke gender rules on stage, the fear was that it might become permanent. In other words, that even if you were born male, your gender could change by merely acting the opposite sex.
Trans by accident.
If you dress yourself in the clothes of the opposite gender, whoops, you may well have gender transition whilst you're on stage and not be able to transit back. Gender fluidity and moving between the binaries is very much in the air.
And it's very much on the page too.
Can we put our stuff down anywhere? Is
that... Andy wanted to show us an example from Shakespeare himself.
Okay. Do people often come to see the Shakespeare documents?
There's only a handful of first edition copies still surviving of Shakespeare's sonnets, and it takes a special appointment to see one.
We're in the library room, and displayed in front of us on these specially designed book supports is this tiny book with the words Shakespeare's sonnets.
Red-bound book.
Red-bound leather book.
We've come to Oxford University's Bodleian Library, being carefully supervised by library staff.
We're not allowed to touch the book or even photograph the hands of the man who does.
Handwritten, it says 1609 in someone's in ink.
And there's a stamp on the side.
There's a stamp. Oh, that's the Bodleian Library, so that's probably a bit more recent.
That's your stamp. You stamped the book? That seems sacrosanct. Andy says there's one love poem above all that plays into this gap between female and male in the bard's work, Sonnet 20, a woman's face with nature's own hand painted.
And so it sort of stands in this bisexual place in the collection as a whole.
It comes in the middle of the Book of Sonnets, after a sequence of love poems apparently written to a beautiful man.
But before a sequence of poems apparently written to a beautiful woman.
And although Sonnet 20 is a love poem, it professes love to neither a man nor a woman, but a person who is devastatingly beautiful.
And who keeps slipping between the cracks of gender binaries. So he or she is the master mistress of my passion. He or she keeps being pinned down by the poet in terms of gender, but keeps slipping away and not staying put.
We asked the archivist with his gloved hands to turn to Sonnet 20. And Andy starts reading.
So I guess as we hear this poem, it's worth thinking about who is being described, who is being spoken to here. A woman's face with nature's own hand painted, hast thou the master mistress of my passion.
And as Andy reads, he also gives us a close reading of the gender games being played in this poem.
And right from the start, we're told that this person has a woman's face, which has been painted by nature's own hand. Nature has created this person and given them a woman's face. And then they're called the master mistress of my passion. And immediately we're not quite sure where we are.
Stop there. Did you catch the honorifics?
Hast thou the master mistress of my passion?
Neither male nor female, but both. Master, mistress. The mix of the 17th century.
The poem continues on, flouting what is female, what is male.
Here's the entire poem.
A woman's face with nature's own hand painted. Hast thou the master mistress of my passion?
A woman's gentle heart, but not acquainted with shifting change, as is false women's fashion. And I more bright than theirs, less false in rolling, gilding the object whereupon it gazeth. A man in hue,
all hues in his controlling, which steals men's eyes and women's souls amazeth.
And for a woman wert thou first created, till nature, as she wrought thee, fell a-doting, and by addition, me of thee defeated, by adding one thing to my purpose, nothing. But since she pricked thee out for women's pleasure, mine be thy love, and thy love's use their treasure.
Now, please say or key in your customer number or account.
God. Help, please. Speak to an agent.
Sorry, we're having trouble finding your account. Let's get someone to help you.
Yes, please. Calls may be
required. We contacted Nationwide, by the way. Mix wasn't an option at the time, but they did give us a statement. Quote, at the time our current systems were built, which is over 20 years ago, a large list of titles, including professional and military titles, was drawn up. At that time, Mix and other gender-neutral titles were not titles we were aware of nor asked for. There has been a lot of fantastic and well-needed progression in the world of equality, diversity, and inclusion in the UK over the past 20 years that Nationwide continually strives to embrace in our practices and policies. Still no Mux. Thanks this week to His Royal Highness, Princess Leo Hornack.
Thanks to Honourable Sanina Porzuki.
You're welcome.
Thanks also to Mother Superior Patrick Cox, Wing Commander Tina Toby, and Air Marshal 2L's Clark Boyd.
And the Metropolitan Mike Wilkins. Hit us up on Twitter. Tell us what honorific do you use. We're at LingoPod. And most importantly, thank you, dear listener, capital L.
Reverend Doctor, the Very Reverend Canon, the Very Reverend Vice Admiral, Vice Admiral Sir, Viscount, Viscount, Viscountess, the Warrant Officer First Class, Wing Commander, WO, WPC.
Oh my God.
Done.
That deserves a round of applause. I love the most reverend.
The World in Words
is made possible in part
by the National Endowment for the Humanities,
celebrating 50 years
of excellence.